It's now time for the Fantasy 411 Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the MLB.com Fantasy 411 Podcast Show Graham Extravaganza. Mike Siano along with Corey Stats Schwartz, the crew on the other side of the glass. We'll have your Twitterverse questions. We got some promotions to do. We have some injury updates. We're going to look at some cheat sheets. We're going to talk about the latest stuff and stuff. What are you pointing at here?
I'm pointing at the cheat sheet.
You're pointing
at tout.
You're pointing at the cheat sheet, and then you're writing tout. You can see why I would be confused by that.
Well, I pointed at the cheat sheet, and then you kept going, and I said also tout wars, because I don't know where your head's at.
You can follow this momentum destroyer at Schwartz Stops. That's Corey Schwartz. We have the general account at Fantasy 411. Don't forget about the great Fred Zinke. Is he still doing those chats on Fridays?
Oh, yeah, he's crushing
it. All right. And you can follow him on Twitter at Fred Zinke MLB. A lot of great stuff out on the site from Fred, from Corey. We have the preview, 800 players. We'll get into a little bit of that in a second as well. I'm at the capped 23. This is Tout Weekend, which Corey delightfully wrote down, so make sure you head over to our good friends at Foley's on Saturday night, I believe, what, 8 p.m. Eastern time?
Whenever we get done with the draft.
And that's after Mixed.
Yes, Mixed is at 3 o'clock, and all the drafts are at City Crab this year on Park Avenue South in Manhattan. They are open to the public.
It's fitting that Crab is there, because there are some crabby people.
And yet no Joe Sheehan, so go figure.
The biggest crab of all.
Sorry, we love you, Joe. it'll be at City Crab this year. It's open to the public, open bar, whatever, cash bar, so hopefully there'll be a big crowd, and it'll be a lot of fun.
You can't have an open bar and a cash bar.
That's a cash bar.
That's
the cash bar will be open.
Yeah.
Sorry.
There's one thing I know is the difference between those two.
I bet you do.
I may not know anything else, but I know the difference between cash bar and open bar.
That's what you get for drinking from the big jug of knowledge.
Exactly. So cool. Yeah, I won't be able to make it on Saturday unless I pull a miracle. Yeah, you know what? I joined a home league this year. Mm-hmm. I have not played fantasy baseball against friends from home. I'm not going to say against friends. I've been playing against friends for years. Like yourself, like the guy sitting to the left of me. Who gave me a hug for my birthday. That was very sweet. I didn't forget it.
That was
it,
see it coming. Just the hug.
I didn't see it coming. And, I think I was a little awkward on the receipt. I don't know. I felt bad that I wasn't as excited.
Well, here's the thing. The hug was given in the spirit of your birthday. You didn't have to receive it in any other way. You didn't have to respond. It wasn't a two-way hug like, hey, it's good to see you, or it was me.
Well, I was walking ahead of you, and you kind of said, hey, come back, and I kind of was leaning forward,
and then you pulled me in. But that's the thing. It was me hugging birthday good wishes onto you.
You were.
So you could have just stood there, you know, still,
right,
and it still would have been a happy birthday.
The old creepy uncle don't hug me stance.
Right. Like the, you know. All right, so you had one set of grandparents.
Or a creepy aunt.
One set of grandparents you'd see all the time,
right,
and one set of grandparents that lived in, like, Tulsa you'd only see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe for you that's a bad example.
Wisconsin, I do have an uncle-in-law in Tulsa.
You'd only see them, like, once a year. So your grandparents are so excited to see you, and they hug and kiss on you, and you're just like, hi.
And you know what's coming.
Right, you're like, hi.
Where's my $5?
$5
Did you get me anything? Where the hell were we going with this?
You can't do tout words because you're doing a friends league.
So it's the first time doing
I'm a momentum killer?
Yeah, I know, right? So I'm doing a friends league, and it happens to be on Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern time on Long Island, and there will be a keg there.
Oh, you forget
so,
it. See ya.
So, I mean, if I can somehow do this draft, kill a keg, get on a train, go to the city to go to another bar, I'll be dead by 41. But
what's in the keg?
I think it's going to be Yingling.
Okay.
Which isn't terrible.
That's 12 ounces of hangover.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's why I probably will not be able to make it on Saturday. So I was bummed about that because even though I don't play in tout anymore, I'm 2 years out now, I do enjoy going to tout night.
Yeah.
But we're getting a little taste of that tonight. What are we doing tonight?
I don't know.
Is this on the down low?
It's supposed to be.
Well, by the time anybody hears the podcast, we'll already be half in the bag at it.
Jim Sias and Nando DeFino are getting together some people. So.
Okay, there you go. If you didn't make the cut, you didn't make the cut.
Right. And by the time most people hear this, it'll be too late anyway.
We had a great time.
It was
wish
awesome.
You were there.
I'm looking ahead to tonight. It was pretty awesome. I wish you'd been there.
All right, let's get down to business. Some injuries to go over. McCutcheon, this one's a little weird. On our injury page on MLB.com, if you are in no jeopardy of missing opening day, I believe, you're not listed. So I went looking for McCutcheon, and he's not there. I said, okay, that's good news. Then I went on to Pirates' site, And he did all his normal workouts on Tuesday, didn't play, but did all the normal stuff you would before you would play, except he just never got into the game, which was obviously on purpose from Clint Hurdle, and said he's fine. And he said he's being safe than sorry. It's this mysterious lower body soreness. Now, listen, the only reason this is an issue, personally and for the sake of the podcast, this guy's a top five pick.
Absolutely.
If he was a fifth rounder, you're like, yeah, all right, maybe I'll wait till the sixth to take him. But, I mean, this draft I'm talking about on Saturday, it's a 16-team mixed head-to-head, by the way. I have pick four. I know Trout's gone. I know Stanton's being kept.
Okay.
So that kind of
Goldschmidt or McCutchen.
Goldschmidt, and honestly, with the way pitching is scored in this league, I am very seriously considering Kershaw.
You can't go wrong with that.
No, you can't
go wrong. No complaints about that.
Anyway, I'm a little nervous about McCutchen, and I really would like a little bit more news.
I'll tell you two things.
Give me something that makes me feel good.
I'll give you a couple of things, and we're talk a little bit about McCutchen, then I want to go off on sort of a general conceptual thing.
Please do.
McCutchen's an incredibly durable player. He's averaged something like 153 or 154 games during the course of his career as a regular. Last year, I think, was the first year in five straight years he didn't make it to 150, and he still played 148. So you're pretty likely to get paid on him. He's missed five straight games, but they don't think it's anything serious. There are no muscles pulled.
Right.
There's no broken bones. It's just general soreness. So on March, today is the 19th?
Today's the 19th.
I'm not terribly concerned about it. And again, let's say he goes on the DL today. He misses five games at the start of the season. Again, I'm not too concerned about it. So as far as McCutchen goes, I'm going to believe he's going to be okay until I have reason to believe otherwise. Now, the bigger picture here is that with draft starting, I'm sure some leagues have drafted already. Mm-hmm. This probably is the first weekend where things start heating up. And then really, as we get into late next week, it gets serious. I kind of like situations like this, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I've been thinking about this for a long time as I've thought more and more about how to incorporate replacement value into my draft projections. You know, if you know a guy's going to be out for a month, you get 4 weeks of replacement value and you figure it out accordingly. It kind of creates buying opportunities on draft day. You know, Cole Hamels last year is really the one that really makes me feel kind of empowered. And maybe it was just a bet that paid off in his confirmation bias, but he plummeted in drafts last year because of the sore shoulder. But everybody insisted it was not a serious injury. It was just inflammation. As soon as the inflammation went down, he would be fine. He ended up getting pushed back another week or two than they thought. And when he came back, he pitched, frankly, better than he'd ever pitched in his career. So he didn't earn it on volume, but on the ratios, he earned it. He was outstanding last year. And I got him at a huge discount in a lot of leagues, and I was very happy about that, you know, being a guy who likes to go cheap on pitching.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking at some of the, you know, McCutchen and some of the other guys we'll talk about and some guys who are banged up. I kind of like buying into that uncertainty a little bit.
Okay.
You get a little
That's
bit a of a discount point. Opportunity there.
All right, very fair point.
And you know what? If it blew up in my face with Hamels last year, I probably wouldn't be so bold. But confirmation bias.
But confirmation bias plus the fact you're very right. There's no, like, he's not listed on the injury report because there's technically no injury.
Right.
He's not hurt. He's sore, and they're playing it safe, and he feels fine.
Right.
Okay.
And one more thing to add, so we don't make the entire show about McCutchen, though we could. You've made this point a lot, which I think is very important to keep in mind as well. I mean, I'll make the counterpoint for you. Teams aren't in the business of saying when their guys are hurt. They're not trying to tell us, you know, Wheeler's fine.
Yeah.
We're just giving him a day off.
Right.
Wheeler's fine. He's just got a little soreness.
Mm-hmm.
Wheeler's fine, but we're just going to check him out.
Right.
Wheeler's having TJ. Wheeler pitched through a torn ligament and a torn tendon. I mean, like, the progression of it's nothing to the guy's arm was about to fall off is astonishing. You know,
it's funny, though, that you bring that up because his agent came out and said, I don't blame the Mets for anything. So, I mean, usually the agent's like, they just, you know, ruined this kid. They're hurting his earning power 6 years from now, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That did not come out. So this might be one of those weird one-offs where they actually, what they were saying was actually true because there was no other information. But as Ron Burgundy says, that escalated quickly.
Right, exactly. Well played. And look, I'm not accusing lest this.
No, I know. I didn't think you were.
I'm not accusing anybody of being dishonest, but you know, it's not the responsibility of the team to broadcast this news unless they have a reason to.
Right.
You know, least of all because there are privacy issues when it comes to your health.
Yep, absolutely.
It's nobody's business.
It's nobody's, right. And it's not like they were trying to trade him. And he would have had to take an MRI and all that stuff anyway before right. being traded. So it's not like, right, I don't think there was anything sinister going on here, but it was very shocking, to say the least.
Yeah.
And again, you see something like that, bringing it back full circle to McCutchen before we move on to these other guys. You hear something like that, and you start to get paranoid.
Yeah.
I am paranoid about my spot on Saturday because I do want McCutchen. If he's there, 90% chance I take him if he's there. But now I'm paranoid about it.
Yeah.
And it's just it's unsettling, Corey. I'm unsettled.
I understand your apprehension. Final thought before we move on to have the same exact conversation about the next player on the list.
Well, he's not a first rounder, so let's take it easy.
I sweat this stuff a lot more for pitchers than hitters because the very nature
That's
of pitching
true,
is designed to cause injury. Pitching is a little death every time you throw a pitch.
McCutchen at bats last 3 years, 593, 583, 548. So, right. Like you said, he first time he hadn't. I don't have games played. I just have at bats. But anyway, the point is his homers were more in, almost 50 less at bats than the previous year. His RBIs were a wash. His steals were down a little, some nine less steals. But I mean, everything else was pretty much, and batting average was a wash.
He's fantastic.
I mean, he's a great player. Batting 167 with one RBI in spring training.
Wow. Dan Rosenheck is about to knock McCutchen out of the first round.
All right. Matt Wieters, tendonitis shut down. This one's very concerning because this is where, great job by our Orioles reporter, Brittany Garoli, getting these quotes from Buck. Buck's comments were, well, if he can't catch opening day, he's not coming north with us.
Yeah.
Now that is, there is a DH spot in the American League, by the way. But I guess it's like catch or bust with this guy, with Wieters. And he played for the first time, and they said everything was fine. And then the next day, he shut down.
That escalated quickly. But, all right, so uninformed question, and I hope you can answer it for me.
Go ahead.
So we don't seem really uninformed here on our own podcast. Is this the same elbow that he had the surgery on?
Yeah. I think it has to be. I thought so. I will check anyway because I have the internet machine with me.
See,
if catching elbow.
Right. So honestly, in that, well, you catch with both elbows, Mike.
Well, okay. Sorry. You know what I mean. You have to throw.
Yeah. I mean,
the surgically repaired right elbow. Yeah.
So let's call
tendonitis.
This, ordinary post-surgical soreness building back up to gameplay. Again, like McCutchen, I'm mildly concerned about this, but not really. But Buck's quote is the big money shot, that he's not going to DH, that he will catch only. And you have to say, all right, at this point, you've got to knock him out for 2 weeks at the start of the season almost. A week, he's resting for 10 days. That puts you
right
close to, 4 days before opening day anyway. I'm sort of assuming a two-week DL stint to start the season for him at this point.
Yeah, I mean, if you have Wieters in a keeper league or you're targeting him as a big bounce-back guy, which I wouldn't blame you. I mean, the guy's guy's a pretty good player.
Yeah.
Take a look at Brittany's story that went up yesterday, and I'll just give you...
Pretty good. Somewhere between Mike Piazza and Zeus.
Yeah, that's right. Very nice.
But, did it?
Yeah. He could be cleared sooner. Things may change, Showalter said. It's normal. It's around a nine-month period. It's not a setback. I'm surprised we haven't had any of this before. He's not feeling anything acute or anything. We just thought it would be prudent to try to get ahead of it, blah, blah, blah. I don't think it puts anything in jeopardy, but we'll see. But then, when asked, would the club have him on the 25-man roster if he isn't able to get back behind the plate before camp breaks? Probably not, but don't hold me to it. So... it's a little contradictory, but at the same time, fairly telling that, this guy could be out a while. So keep an eye on it. I mean, again, this is not a guy that's a McCutchen-type impact player. I think he's more of a bounce-back candidate than anything.
This is a great example of I expect him to be out just as I'm doing my valuations.
Mm-hmm.
I'm tacking on 2 weeks of replacement value, figuring he'll miss the first 2 weeks at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing. At catcher, replacement value is effectively below zero.
Yeah.
So
nil as they
so
say.
So this is a case where you can add in all the replacement value you want. You're replacing Matt Wieters with a player who's terrible. His value is what it is. So you have to knock down those counting stats value him that way.
I mean, it's almost like you draft him, you put him on the DL. Again, this is all speculation. Let's assume he does go on the DL to start the season. You draft him, you put him on the DL, you pick up Caleb Joseph, when Wieters comes back, you cut Caleb Joseph.
Right. You know, maybe Joseph, you know, closes his eyes and stumbles into two homers because he's got a little bit of pop. You just have to hope he doesn't hit 194 in that time.
Right, exactly. All right. So that's Wieters. Now, here's a very unfortunate one, and that's Alex Cobb, who people were very high on. Mm-hmm. What do we have him going for in drafts? $14. But he, let's see, according to this, according to our cheat sheet,
he's a top 10 pitcher in baseball since joining the Rays rotation.
He's ranked 13th overall in starting pitchers. I mean, this is McCutchen, an impact player, a guy who probably didn't go for that much money in keeper leagues that you thought, okay, I'm cashing in big time on this guy, and now all of a sudden, right forearm.
Yeah.
No opening day. That's already been said by manager Kevin Cash. So what do you think about this?
This one is really scary because whenever I hear forearm, that's sort of a precursor to elbow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at the Rays, I'm not saying that these things are necessarily related, but the Rays are dealing with tons and tons of injury problems on their pitching staff. You know, Matt Moore is already out for half the season. Drew Smyly is sore. Cobb is sore. Alex Colome, who is expected to at least compete for a rotation spot, has pneumonia and hasn't even thrown yet.
Jeez.
I mean, they are really, really banged up. In the pitching, so suddenly, you know, Jake Odorizzi becomes their opening day starter. You know, I am very much concerned about Cobb. I hope I have some time between now and some drafts that, you know, we can see, is this a Cole Hamels situation where they're just going to let the inflammation go down? Or is this a Zach Wheeler situation where, you know, because of the forearm, it's just, you know, this is what Homer Bailey had last year. That sort of, apologies to Will Carroll and Stefania Bell, I think the flexor mass in the forearm, that always seems to be a precursor to TJ. So I hope in Cobb's case it's only inflammation, and then he'll start a throwing program and be back in 2 or 3 weeks into the season, like I expected Hamels would be last year. I hope this goes this route instead of the Zach Wheeler route. And I think there are a lot of people holding their breath to find out.
Yeah, Bill Chastain's story, a couple of quotes from Cobb. Let's make sure this is from Cobb. Well, somebody said, I think the fact that we know there's no structural damage in there, there's just some tendonitis, so it'll basically go off how I feel. Okay, so this is Cobb. Once we get everything calmed down and see how it responds, we'll be able to go from there. But I don't tell you how many starts I expect to miss or anything along those lines. I think we can safely say that I would like to believe I would be back for April, no doubt.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's great to be optimistic, but right. We, you know.
So, again, let's say 4 weeks for Alex Cobb. Let's say he misses the entire month of April. That gives you 4 weeks of replacement value, which is actually much higher for pitchers
Absolutely.
Than it is for catchers.
Absolutely.
Because especially in daily leagues, you know why, Mike? Pitcher ditch.
That's right.
Where you have an opportunity to not only get replacement value, you get better than replacement value.
Absolutely.
So this is a case where it hurts his value, but because of the value of his rate stats and the opportunity to replace the counting numbers through pitcher ditch or a similar strategy if you're in that kind of league, this one doesn't knock him down as much as it knocked, relatively speaking, as much as it knocks down Wieters.
Right. I think this hurts you more in a keeper league than it does in a scratch draft.
Yes, definitely.
Now, here, this one kills me for many reasons, but this Ellsbury thing is just killing me. I really was targeting him. I think he was primed for a really nice season, I don't want to say bounce back, but you know what I mean. But he gets shut down for a week after an MRI confirmed he has a mild oblique strain. Kind of need your stomach to play baseball. So.
Yeah, you know, obliques are interesting because to my knowledge, it's an injury with a high recurrence rate because you think of all the swings a batter will take over the course of, you know, 150, 155 games. There's a real easy opportunity to re-injure that muscle. So Ellsbury is a guy who's had a lot of injuries, but curiously, as I've pointed out, there's a difference between injury-prone and accident-prone.
And that's 3 years removed, and that's him running into people playing cards.
And that's my point.
That drives me nuts.
He hasn't had injuries.
No.
He's had accidents that cost him big chunks of time.
Right.
Now
he does.
2 years ago, I think he had the foot injury. He fouled a ball off his foot and suffered like a hairline fracture in his foot, and that basically knocked him out down the stretch run in 2013.
But he still had 577 at-bats. I mean,
because he played every single game before that.
Exactly.
Last year, I think he had some aches and pains, but for the most part, you know, played, 148 games, something like that last
575
year.
At-bats.
So there you go. So again, until we have reason to think this will turn into something bigger, I'm not terribly worried about it because, again, Ellsbury's a guy with a very good track record of health as far as injuries, not accidents.
Yeah, and you know, I say bounce back only because you know, he gets the big free agent contract. In 2013, his last year in Boston, he hit 300. He only had 9 homers.
53 steals.
But he had 52 steals, right? last year, his batting average dropped.
Plummeted.
Yeah, I mean, you know, plummeted all the way to 271, which is the new 300.
It's a 30-point.
Absolutely, but it's funny that you say plummeted, yet he still, if you knew he was going to hit 271, you would take it.
Yeah, what do you have, 16 homers, 37 steals?
16 homers, 39 steals.
All right,
so big jump and pop. He almost doubled his homers, but, you know, he also 13 less steals. He also actually knocked in a lot more runs, obviously, because of the homers definitely help. So I say bounce back, but it's kind of a gray area. It's just, you know, you want him to be. I think ideally you'd like to draft this guy, and let's assume he's okay, and the shutdown for a week cures all ills. You know, you want this guy to hit 300. You want him to hit at least 15 homers. You want him to steal 50 bases, right? I mean, yeah. And then whatever comes, and then the runs will come. You know, you would hope he at least gets to 90, maybe before it's with 100. And the RBIs are what they are, you know, based on how many homers he hits.
Right, absolutely. But, you know, this, again, I think this is a buying opportunity.
I agree. I'm not as paranoid on him.
Maybe even more so than McCutchen, because as you said, McCutchen's a top 4 or 5 player. He's not suddenly going to plummet into the second round.
Right.
Ellsbury's a late first, early second. Mm-hmm. He might stick around till the end of the second round.
I think he is. I mean, I was looking at that yesterday. So if I have pick 4 in a 16-teamer.
Could you get him on the comeback?
I think I can, and that's where I'll sit on him. I think,
but it's a keeper league, though.
Yeah, but you can but you can only keep one guy, and it's half the round, so he would cost me a first round.
Oh, so no, right? Nobody's got their first round keeper.
Right. So if he's there, though, I will seriously consider it. He may be the best hitter there anyway.
How about this? If you get the chance at 4, you take Goldschmidt, and then on the comeback, you take McCutchen.
Ellsbury.
Nice.
So you would take. You would take Goldschmidt over McCutchen?
Head-to-head, I take Goldschmidt over McCutchen simply because I'm more concerned about power than category balance.
Yeah, and I mean, the one thing as I was studying in this kind of head-to-head league, and this is fairly standard for any head-to-head league with baseball, what occurred to me was how focusing on OPS is the indicator of how valuable a guy will be. Now, with that said, projections for this league, McCutchen and Goldschmidt were a wash, I think.
Yeah.
So I don't know. The main reason is I think first base is deeper.
Let's say Goldschmidt has 31 homers and 12 steals, mm-hmm. and McCutchen has 26 and 21.
Right.
Batting averages or OBPs are going to be very comparable. McCutchen will be much higher in an average league. Goldschmidt will catch up in an OBP league. Mm-hmm. You know, McCutchen will probably have a few more runs. Goldschmidt probably a few more RBIs. They're incredibly close in value.
Yeah.
Incredibly close. Last year, they were, you know, sort of the consensus 3-4. Yeah. Probably the same this year.
Now, what about Miggy?
Miggy's going to drop, but if he drops out of the first round, that's nuts. I still think he's a top 10 player. They're saying now he'll be ready for opening day.
But would you take him? So you wouldn't take him over Goldschmidt, though?
No, because there is some risk there.
Yeah.
You know, you have the age concerns. You have, mm-hmm. You have the injury. But I don't let him drop, let's say, out of the top 8. You know, in a bad year last year, he hit over 300, 25 and 100. He's believed to be healthy now. There's still a plenty good lineup around him. It's not like he's an old man. He's what, 32, 33?
Right, let me throw you on the carpet here.
On the carpet?
On the carpet.
Okay.
On the rug.
All right, got it.
Trout, again, Stanton's not available, so it doesn't matter.
All right.
Trout, McCutchen, Goldschmidt go 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
So now it becomes, to me, Miggy or Kershaw.
I'd still take Miggy over Kershaw. I mean, look, I get all the arguments for Kershaw. Rationally, they absolutely make sense. I just can't take a pitcher in the first round. It's just me.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm never, ever going to take a pitcher in the first
round. I never thought
I
could take a quarterback in the first round either, and last year I took Manning. Mm-hmm. And he lived up to it. I mean, yeah, he fizzled a little bit at the end, but the playoffs were, I think, over anyway. And now I have a – listen, if there is only one pitcher I would take in the first round, believe you
me. Oh, yeah, he's the only one.
He's the only one. I just – you just look at the tier, and it's just amazing that in a league where you have Max Scherzer and David Price and Felix Hernandez, that this guy is actually above them.
I'll tell you what.
In a league of his own. It's scary.
I don't want to say this as like a fearless projection or anything like that, but I'm still tweaking my final numbers. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me – and it's not an insignificant part of my thinking that would take Abreu over Cabrera. I think Abreu is going to make last year his baseline.
Wow.
The more research I do into him, the more I talk to people about him, the more I see him play, I think last year was scratching the surface.
Well, that's pretty bold. Honestly, and I don't disagree with
him. I'm not at all kidding. You know, last year they were kind of scratching to put together a lineup. This year they're going to have Adam Eaton and Melky Cabrera hitting in front of him, guys who actually get on base, who can run. And I don't point that out from the standpoint of, well, they steal bases. If he hits a double in the gapper, they can both score.
Right.
You know, I think he can
also
hit.
You'll have guys pitching to him out of the stretch more and paying attention to the guy. They're distracted.
You know why? Say it. Protection comes from the front.
Yes, okay. I didn't know that's what you were
Protection
say.
Comes from the front. I'm telling you, I think Abreu can make last year a baseline in terms of maybe not batting average.
Okay.
But I think he's a legit 300 hitter, 300, 305. I think he can make a run at 40 homers.
So you may have him leading the league in homers this year.
No, second to Encarnacion.
Ah, well, he's five.
Well, again, and that's, you know, that's part trash talk. You know, it's part based on analysis. It's also hoping that his back stays healthy.
Yeah.
If we're talking about, you know, spring training injuries. But I think Abreu, I think Encarnacion, and I said this at the Baseball HQ First Pitch Forum 2 weekends ago, and thanks again to Ron Chandler and the gang for having me out there. I think the only player in baseball who can make a run at 50 this year, not will, but can, is Encarnacion. No kidding. But he's got to stay healthy.
Right. So who are you picking it for if it goes Trout, if it goes... Well, let's put it this way.
Scratch draft.
You're picking at five, actually.
Scratch draft. Trout, Stanton, Goldschmidt, and McCutchen are off the board.
Yeah.
At five?
Yep.
That's where it gets difficult.
Well, I mean, so what would you do?
I'm not taking Kershaw.
Okay. That's fine, but who are you taking?
Cabrera, Abreu, I'd have to take a look. You know, like I said, I'm still finalizing.
Well, you only
numbers.
Have 120 seconds to take a look, so.
Yeah, but I don't have those 120 seconds right now. I actually have
I'm surprised you're non-committal, I'll be honest.
Because I'm honestly, and look, I've said this on Twitter.
So it's the ceiling of Abreu
versus the floor of Cabrera.
Right. They're colliding. Worlds are colliding here.
Mm-hmm.
High ceiling and injury concerns.
There are a lot of reasons to go for Cabrera, though, and a lot of reasons to go for Abreu.
I'm really surprised you can't make a decision on this. It's great, though.
I'll tell you what.
It's not a bad thing.
By Tout Wars on Saturday, I'll make a decision. Because I'm going to have to put my money where my mouth is.
Well, yeah, so mixed auction.
I've started to identify some guys I'm going for on Saturday. It literally, I went to bed at 1:15 last night because I was finalizing the pitching part of my projections. I'm going to hopefully update dollar values today and then have another set on the blog, and that's going to be my go-to-war set of projections, you know, obviously barring injuries or whatever.
All right.
So there have been a lot of people asking about that on Twitter, and I apologize.
So when's it going up?
Hopefully today.
Okay,
so
good.
Today being Thursday the 19th.
Fantasy411.mlblogs.com.
I just haven't been able to get it done. Been so busy. But, you know, I think I have it ready. A few names have jumped out at me of guys that I'm starting to that I'm definitely going to be targeting. So we'll see. And the nice thing about it is I'm only doing one straight pick'em draft this year. Everything else is auction. This is the most auctions I've ever done, which, you know, look, there are pros and cons to both formats. But the nice thing about auction is that you always have a chance to be in on every player. You may get outbid, but you always have a shot at him. Whereas in a straight pick'em draft, if you're like, all right, this guy should be a 10th rounder, and somebody reaches up and takes him in the 7th, you never really had a shot at him.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Somebody can steal your pick, the pick before you, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Nothing you can do about it. It's going to happen.
The worst feeling. The worst.
All right, so wrapping up the injury stuff, we kind of jumped ahead with the pick 3, 4, 5, but that was good stuff, even though you didn't pick anybody.
Well, I pick Goldschmidt. It's like in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, you know, I bid a nickel. You can't bid a nickel. You have to bid a dime. I don't want to bid a dime. I want to bid a nickel. Anyway, this is a dime.
Lastly, let's do a little New York pitching real quick, and then we can get into some other stuff. The Wheeler news, was your immediate reaction that Syndergaard is going to cash in on this, or are you still not convinced, on paper, it's G. He slides back in.
I absolutely think Dylan G is going to take the rotation spot.
You think this becomes a buying opportunity
for
him, or you're not a fan?
Dylan G?
Yeah.
He's a guy.
He's a guy. I got a guy.
You know, I think the Mets are uniquely capable of replacing Zach Wheeler. I don't mean that as an insult to Zach Wheeler, that he's not a guy who was viewed as a breakout candidate this
really
year.
Solid second.
But Dylan G, I mean, if Dylan G is your five, you got a really solid rotation. And they have Syndergaard, and they have Rafael Montero. And if they really needed to, they could give Carlos Torres some spot starts, who had a fantastic year in long relief last year.
And they have Mats.
Yeah, so they've got, you know, they do have pitching depth. I think ultimately this will speed up the timetable on Syndergaard a little bit, but I view it as more of a case of they've got five guys now in their rotation who are all very solid starters, but none of them you can say are rock-solid 32-start candidates this year.
Right.
You know, Bartolo Colon, because of the age, look, I mean, all due respect to what he's done, you can't assume he's going to make 32 starts. John Neese has had some shoulder problems over the years. You can't assume he'll make 32. Matt Harvey's coming off TJ. You definitely can't assume he'll make 32. Jacob deGrom, fantastic rookie of the year season, but he's never gone the distance. And Dylan Gee has never gone the distance.
DeGrom looks so there, sick, by so the way, speaking of being training stats.
Yeah,
he looks
so there are five above-average starters there, but none that you can count on to go wire-to-wire. At some point, that's how Syndergaard will get his call.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will need a little breather. Somebody will, you know, maybe Gee will struggle a little bit. But I do think that when Syndergaard gets called up, it'll be for good.
All right. And what's your latest feeling coming off his performance yesterday as he continues to roll in Tanaka?
I felt great about him last year when I got him in Tout Wars.
Well, but now you know more. All right, you know what I mean. You know more now. Knowing what you know now, are you avoiding like the plague, or are you encouraged to maybe jump in?
Well,
there's no question
about his ability, none right. whatsoever. So it's just a question of how much risk you're willing to take, because you know the problems were at the end of last season, so he had a winter to recoup. Who knows what he'll do in August this year? But if the price is right, yeah, I'm a buyer.
Okay. The all-comeback team went up on Monday. The current injured players who could win leagues went up on Tuesday. So please check those out either via the blog, fantasy411.mlblogs.com, with links to that, or on the website. So that's some good stuff to keep an eye out for. And shameless plug here with the 411 cheat sheet that just went out yesterday, I believe. And that should be on the blog as well, if Goose is doing his job. It's, you know, you got all the positions, but what I like about this, you get a ton of starting pitchers here. You know, it's 5x5, 12 team mix. So, you know, keep that in mind. It's more for that, but it does have dollar values. And on the bottom, you can print it out on a one sheeter, which I always love. On the bottom, Jim Callis's top fantasy prospects. Ranked by order of projected 2015 value. That's very important. Very important. Brian Soler, Rusney. I don't know if we maybe have to fix that one if these hurt. But so keep an eye on that. Jim Duquette, former general manager and great friend of the 411. Top picks to click, ranked by alphabetical.
Don't say it. He's got one of my guys on his list, but don't say it.
Ooh, I won't say it.
That's a guy I'm targeting.
I won't say it. And by the way, I was listening to MLB Network Radio yesterday, and Duquette was in Mariners camp.
Mm-hmm.
He is very hot. Now, it's not on here because I guess he ran out of...
He
ran out of positions, but he loves James Paxton.
Mm-hmm.
Loves him.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Fred Zinke, worth the price. Gives you some nice value guys. Brian McCann on here. He homered yesterday. Shin-Soo Chu. So talk about bounce back guys. Mookie Betts has been doing very well. Buyer beware. His sleepers. Comeback candidates. And then we'll help once healthy rank the alphabetical order. So some nice value information here on the bottom. So take a look at it. You know. Maybe helps you notes a little bit here or there, or who knows, maybe you rely on it.
Whatever
you see fit.
Looking at this sleeper list, I wouldn't she hadn't done that because there's some guys on here that I really like. So hopefully.
Is one of them a baby giraffe?
Shut up.
You shut your mouth.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, man. I love Brandon Belt.
Yeah, I was in Arizona last week, and it's, you know, for the Sabre Analytics Conference. Then I went to Salt River Field for the game on Saturday to check out the new player tracking system. Belt comes up. Homers, I mean, mm-hmm. golf shot, just yeah. poked it. And then I think his next time up, he hit a triple. So I was feeling pretty good about that. Of course, in San Francisco, they would both be triples because
yes.
nobody homers there.
Buyer beware list is interesting. A lot of guys, it's basically half my NL-only team. but 2-0 and Cargo next to each other, for obvious reasons. It's no-brainer. But what have you thought of them so far this spring? Because guess what? They're still playing. That's encouraging.
That's amazing. If I had to pick one or the other, I would be a lot more optimistic about Cargo, to be honest with you. I took him in the very, very slow 4-1-1 mock draft over the winter.
That's right.
For basically three straight seasons, he was an elite player who just got banged up here and there, and you just say, all right, 130 games. Last year with the knee injury was the first time he's just flat out been knocked out of service for a long time. And it really affected his performance. But the early reports I've read is that his knee feels great. I think the average and the power will come back. You know, maybe he'll be a little bit more conservative on the base paths. It's not like I'm going to pencil him in for 155 games either. But I'm going back to his performance levels of 11 to 13 in my projection. So in my mind, he's a second rounder at worst.
Okay. Yeah, I agree.
But the risk.
Listen, the way it's going, there's risk with every guy. I mean, it's just nuts. I mean, nobody is safe, especially people who throw the ball for a living from a mound.
No kidding.
60, uh, 60.6 away.
I'm
so
just circling some names of guys that I like.
Well, that's
year.
that's your right. You printed that out. That's your pen. You do whatever you want. Yeah. All right. So check out all these cheat sheets. These all comeback team, the current injured players who can win leagues, all that stuff. Keep an eye on Fred Zinke. Follow him on Twitter at Fred Zinke MLB, at Schwartstops, at the Cap 23, and of course at Fantasy 411 and at Zach MLB. And don't forget the blog. We'll have two star pitchers before you know it. As we get ready to start this season here.
Ready
for some Twitter questions?
Let's do it.
All right, let's start with, let's see how many we got. We have about six here before we wrap this puppy
we
up.
We
actually have six. Okay, we indeed have six. At Tom923, Teron or DeGrom as a keeper?
Yeah, tough choice. You know, we just got done talking about DeGrom, but I'd still keep Teron. You know, he's an interesting guy that his fielding independent pitching, you know, if you take out things like home run rate and just look at strikeouts and walks, actually haven't been as good as his ERAs. And with the Braves, you know, downgrading their offense over or A's, the Braves downgrading the offense over the winter, you have to worry about that. But I really like the growth curve he's been on since he's developed his repertoire. I think he's going to continue to improve. Excellent pitcher's park, great bullpen. He's one of those guys that may have a 287 ERA and a 108 whip and only 13 wins. But I think those ratios are so valuable, I got to go for it. It's not a knock on DeGrom, but I like Teron's got a little bit of a track record, and I think there's room for more growth.
Okay. At Gary San Filippo, I've got Stanton, Bautista, Brantley, and I can keep Betts for $4 or Lester for $8 in a standard auction. So let's assume $260, and clearly this is a mixed league. Help me.
Well, you know, this is one where I would wait as late as possible, and I hope today's not the deadline because, you know, if I knew Mookie Betts was going to play 140, 150 more games, slam dunk $4 keeper.
Oh, yeah. I think he's
John Lester's definitely going to earn $8.
Yeah, he is.
I mean, obviously, more than that.
But he could earn, you're saying he could earn 30.
Betts could earn $26 this year.
Yeah.
Seriously. So
26 plus 4, 30.
No, he could earn $26.
Oh, so $22 more dollars. Oh,
yes.
Okay, plus $22.
But thanks. He could earn $30, I suppose.
I don't know.
Anyway, if I knew he was going to play regularly, I'd keep him for $4. But it's not just Betts for $4. It's the opportunity cost of letting go of the profit on Lester, too.
Yeah.
So I'd want to be confident, or at least reasonably confident, about Betts' playing time. If I was, I would keep him. If you have any doubt, keep Lester. Because it's not that I don't think Betts can earn $4. It's that you know Lester is going to earn $16, yeah. $18.
It's a high-end problem, but it is a problem.
Yes.
At Yarm9293, 12-team head-to-head league, keep three. Carlos Gomez is one. I have to keep two out of Justin Upton, David Wright, Adrian Gonzalez, Big Poppy, Prince Fielder, or Votto.
Tough choices here. I mean, a lot of injury concerns, you know, a lot of guys with home ballpark concerns, you know, like Justin Upton obviously going to San Diego. Yeah. Agon's playing in L.A.
Doesn't he have anywhere power, though? They move the fences in. He has a nice track record in San Diego.
Yeah, you trumped my thoughts.
Okay.
I was just setting the stage.
Oh,
but
okay.
I think you're keeping Jay up. You know, I would probably keep Adrian Gonzalez, you know, as the third one, simply because he's so consistent and so reliable.
Yes.
He, you know, he's not a plus in batting average anymore, but he's mildly above average. You know you're going to get 25 and 100, if not more, out of him. The Dodgers, I think, look really – I mean, the Dodgers are going to be good this year. And the thing is, this is something Lord Zola points out a lot. Gonzalez plays every single day.
Yeah.
You know, he's going to top 600 at-bats.
Yep.
And playing time is king.
Yep.
So I would keep Upton and Gonzalez. You know, with between those three, you know, you might have, as a baseline, you've got a little bit of a batting average concern, but you've got good pop. And with Gomez, you've got a little steals thrown in. I think that's a good start.
Yeah, I agree. I have zero problem with that. I mean, to me, Justin Upton was a no-brainer. And then it was just a matter of, you know, risk versus reward. Agon is medium to low risk and medium to high reward,
yeah.
Right? Because you know what you're going to get. So everything's medium. Listen, I think Fielder and Votto can have very, very big years, but I don't know they can.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know.
You know, out of the three big injury concern guys, if I had to rank them, I'd go Votto, then Wright, then Fielder. You know,
really?
I worry about Fielder's ability to recoup the power after having the neck problem, after looking so bad his last year in Detroit.
Yeah.
You know, whereas Votto, you know, especially in an OBP league, oh, my God, you're definitely going to keep Votto and not worry about that.
Right.
And David Wright, you know, last for 3 years before last year, he actually was pretty solid. He had the hamstring problem at the end of 2013 that cost him, you know, 40, 50 games or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then last year, the shoulder wasn't right, and no pun intended, and that really drained his power. But he's said to be driving the ball straight away opposite field this year, which is kind of his trademark swing. I think he's in for a nice bounce back season.
All right, let's do it. I agree. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, because I would love for David to have a great year.
I hope I'm right,
year.
Too.
I hope you're right, too. But I agree on Votto. You have to go number one with him out of the rest of the guys.
Yeah.
At Kerry Klug, who should I keep in an OBP? Oh, speaking of OBP, Rusney Castillo in the 20th, Billy Hamilton in the 13th, Josh Harrison in the 20th, or Gregory Polanco in the 15th?
You know, almost a similar answer on Castillo as Betts. If I knew he was going to play every day, mm-hmm. I'd probably keep him, but I don't, and he's banged up, so I think he's out despite the value. You know, Billy Hamilton, you've got to love those steals, but no power, and OBP league hurts his value rather than helps it,
right.
So I think he's out.
First.
I think he's out. And Josh Harrison, you know, his breakthrough last year was a batting average on balls in play spike, which helps you in average leagues, but he's not a guy that walks either. I'm keeping Polanco.
Yeah, I knew you were going there anyway.
It took the long out, route. Worked out nicely. Because
you took the local.
I was eliminating the other candidates. And look, 15th round is a nice value.
Very nice value.
He's going to give you double-digit homers, 25 steals.
Yep.
I think there's a lot of room for growth here. And he's got decent plate discipline. He's not one of these 30-walk, 120-strikeout guys.
Right.
He can command the strike zone. I think he's going to be a lot better this year after having, you know, a full season under his belt.
At Ring City Boston, I could do without that handle, but whatever.
Ouch. In the face.
In the face. And, I mean, it's ridiculous how many rings this city has. Adam LaRoche or Mark Trumbo for the season?
LaRoche.
Yeah.
You know, I like the ballpark. I love the ballpark. I love the fact that he's
mentioned
DHing. He can just focus on hitting.
Yep.
You know, hitting behind the top three that they've got in their lineup.
Yep.
He improved his walk rate last year. He made excellent contact. So, you know, he's not a guy who's looks like he's going to fall off the cliff aging-wise.
He may be a boringly awesome guy this year.
He is a boringly awesome guy this year.
Yeah. I mean, I know, you know, he had that stretch where it was just you could lock him in, and it wasn't anything spectacular. It wasn't Adrian Gonzalez. It was a poor man's Adrian Gonzalez, mm-hmm. right, in a way. But he could have a big year.
There was a stretch where he was the cliff at first base.
Yeah.
You know, you'd look at the rankings and draw a line under him.
Right.
And when you heard his name coming up in the draft or saw that it was getting down to it, you're like, all right, I need a first baseman. I'm going to take LaRoche right now, because after that,
right.
you know, I'm down there with Yonder Alonso. No offense, Yonder Alonso, but like that's where you were going. Yeah, I mean, you know, Trumbo, with his injury concerns, with his crushing batting average, with the playing time crunch that they're facing in Arizona, I mean, look, everything I've heard is that Yasmani Tomas cannot play third base.
Right.
That moves him to the outfield. They've got Pollock, Peralta, Enciarte, Trumbo. There's going to be a crush for playing time out there. I don't know what they're going to do with Trumbo. I mean, he could be trade bait. So I like LaRoche. I like the situation for him.
Just pull up LaRoche real quick.
Like 26 homers last year, drew like 89 walks. He had a nice year.
Yeah.
So Wi-Fi. Much for your interweb.
Wi-Fi acting up. Okay, we'll come back to that. Last one, at Blancanino78. Is Mike Zanino. Blancanino asks about Mike Zanino. Is he a top 10 fantasy catcher this year with the improved lineup?
No point no.
No point no.
The improved lineup has nothing to do with it. This guy can't hit.
Yeah.
You know, Jason, when we were doing this slow mock draft, Jason sent some research that basically Mike Zanino cannot hit anything but a fastball and saw fewer and fewer and fewer of them as last season went along.
Right. Why throw him something that right. Why give him anything to hit when
to
you
me,
know he
Mike
can't
Zanino
hit.
Is like J.P. Arencibia 2.0.
Oh.
And I mean that in the good way and the bad way. He's going to give you the 20-plus homers. It's valuable. He's a good defensive catcher, I guess. But if he hits 215, I don't care where the bar is. That's killing you.
Yeah.
So, no, he's not a top 10 catcher.
Okay. All right. That'll do it for this edition of the MLB.com Fantasy 411. Don't forget the blog, fantasy411.mlblogs.com. Don't forget the site, the fantasy site. You can find the all-comeback team there, the current injured players who could win you your league there, the new cheat sheet with all the fun stuff at the bottom. The Twitter machine is at Fantasy411. You can follow Corey at Schwartstops, me at TheCapped23, The Goose at ZachMLB, Fred Zinke at FredZinkeMLB, and I think that covers it. We will be back next week for another Showgram extravaganza. Until then, may your drafts be plentiful. This has been the MLB.com Fantasy 411. Yes, Corey.
Okay, and the epilogue to today's 411. Hope to see everybody at City Crab on Saturday.
There you go. Thank you. All right, that'll do it. We'll see you next week.